This episode is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive. CarMax. The way car buying should be. Start shopping now at CarMax.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey, White Sox fans, you know, the season's over. The minor league season is, it's essentially over. We have Arizona Fall League going on now. But we haven't forgot about you minor league fans. We know there are a lot of you out there, even for this minor league system, a lot of fans. And Darren Black in particular hasn't forgotten about you, because he has put together comprehensive season reviews for each of our teams but Arizona, which we are passing off to our guy in Arizona, Sean Williams. And we are going to record accompanying podcasts for each one of those. And they're going to be, because they'll be briefer, commercial-free, because we care that much about you. And because those players don't get paid anyway, it seems sort of unfair to sell advertising during podcasts about them,
They get a place to live now, which...
You know, supposedly, there seems to be some asterisks there. If your last name ends in Z, or if it starts in A, maybe you get some housing. I guess we'll find out. And who knows?
Sebi's out of a house.
Sorry, Sebi. And who knows? That can be emergency Southside Sox on the Farm podcast over this offseason. So we will not necessarily be away from you lovely listeners and readers and watchers for, you know, all 4 months. Who knows? But this is number 19. We're just going to rock them. We got wardrobe changes. We got beverages. We're going to just run through them. And number 19, of course, we're going to start at the top, the season that ended last, technically. The Charlotte Knights, Darren, my guest here, Darren, of course, he's already gotten enough in. And, you know, he's just in the other room. You know, my best pal, Darren Black, he's just in the other room. We're sharing snacks. We got snacks in the middle table in between our two podcast stations. And during breaks, we're probably going to go and just, you know, grab some nachos, whatever, and come back and then do Birmingham, then do Winston-Salem. But anyway, you guys don't need to know about that. Charlotte Knights, terrible season. 30th out of 30 AAA teams. I know we're not supposed to care about records, et cetera, but it still hurts. 30th, worst team in AAA, 47-81. So those extra games didn't help them out, those extra almost month of games. 38 games worse than the worst than the best team in AAA. Minus 133 run differential, which, believe it or not, is not the worst in the White Sox minors. Just an awful team, which I think I pointed out to you, Darren, is odd, because a lot of guys who came through or came up from Charlotte this year for the White Sox actually did fairly well. So there was something not cohesive about the Charlotte Knight team. And we don't really care about the team performance, even though that's how I'm leading this off. We care about the players. Now, Darren, I am going to put you on the spot and ask for your Charlotte Knights MVP and see if readers agreed with it.
So for the MVP of Charlotte, I'm going to go, normally I think someone should go with Gavin Sheets, but since he was not there the entire time, Jake Berger. A, of course, the story, but B, he actually just did awesome. Mm-hmm. He proved everybody wrong that he was not going to be a good hitter, going from not playing for 4 years and then just ended up crushing it in particular at the beginning of the year and in Chicago at the beginning. He kind of slowed down by the end, which if you really just put two and two together, he hadn't played this much in his entire life. So if he's kind of sweltering down the stretch for his longest streak of playing ever in his life, then that kind of makes sense. But yeah, I go Jake Berger, MVP, hands down.
You do sync up with readership. Jake Berger, in fact, gets the third most MVP votes from readers of anyone in the system. So yes, and in part that is because Gavin Sheets spent more time in Chicago, because Gavin Sheets actually did very well in the MVP voting with the White Sox. So he actually became a playoff stalwart. Although, of course, if you blinked, you missed the White Sox playoffs this year. However, okay, big picture, let's not run down players yet. Big picture, Darren, you would definitely prefer to have the absolute worst team in AAA, 30th of 30 teams, if it can generate players who are of some use for your major league team?
Yes, definitely. I do not care about record one bit. I know sometimes people will care if they're coming up in like a losing culture or anything like that. But I think just because of how well the White Sox are doing, anybody that they kind of added off the streets this year or came up, especially on the hitting side, they all came and did fairly well. So I don't really subscribe to that. So hitters, awesome. Coming up, awesome. The losing in Charlotte didn't seem to matter.
Mm-hmm. Jake Berger aside, because obviously he was a remarkable surprise, and you're right to point out that the way he flagged at the end of the season could vary. And you know, he didn't only flag. He, you know, overall, but he still had some notable mm-hmm. games even toward the end. Obviously, that's the surprise of the season, probably an entire minor league season, pleasant surprise. Aside from Berger, which is an obvious sledgehammer, is there a guy, good or bad, that surprised you most on the nights with his performance?
So we'll just start with the bad. that's kind of the most out of this team. And we'll start kind of a trend that's really for maybe besides the ACL and maybe the DSL, this is a trend of pitching. The prospects that they had that were supposed to be good generally were never really good. And it's first and foremost starts with their top pitching prospect outside of the Kannapolis players was Jonathan Stever. Especially coming out of the 2019 season, people expected a lot from him. He was kind of thrust into MLB last year just out of necessity, didn't really do well. And no one can really blame him for not doing well going from high A to the majors, especially kind of going from a starter to reliever role. But he really just was bad, just really. And then he got hurt with a labrum issue by the end of the year. So that kind of puts a question mark into his future prospects, even on top of his poor play. He had a 5.84 ERA. Guys weren't really hitting ground balls off of him. They were normally going in the air. Which is, you know, not fantastic, as we saw in the White Sox Astros playoff. If you don't hit balls in the air, you're not going to do well. And guys were hitting balls in the air off of Stever, and he didn't do well.
Yeah.
We'll have to just kind of see where he's at next year, because it's kind of he's hurt. He's got a big injury. So we'll just have to wait and see to see where his miles per hour is on his fastball and everything else that goes with a former guy that we were excited about.
It's worth noting that even though he did not make much of an impact with the Charlotte team, I'm going to say by default the Southside Sox pitcher of the year in the organization is Caden McClure. I say by default because we really only had seven notable pitchers, at least in terms of MVP votes. Two of those aren't even in the organization any longer. It was a very, very difficult year for pitching. Tell me a little about Cade in terms of what you see his prospects perhaps at the next level being, and then maybe address a little more broadly this trend of White Sox pitching, because in the organization, it's not good.
Not great. Yeah, so we'll start with just Cade McClure. He was an older guy. He probably would have, if there were a season in 2020, he probably would have started with Charlotte, and maybe you've seen him with a spot start in Chicago this year if need be. He was decent in Birmingham. He had a couple of just games where he just kind of just fell apart. So his 3.82 ERA in Double A looks a lot better if you take out Just some really like horrendous, like one inning, seven earned runs. But the K rate was good. He's a guy that has really good command. And that kind of blew through double A for him. It's just when he got promoted, that kind of just all went away. Again, I have a really hard time in general, especially with pitchers, since none of them played last year, and that has to just ruin like a ton of your just getting used to pitching so much so often, and then to not do it for a whole entire year. I have a hard time just saying like, oh, they failed, don't like pay attention anymore. But I mean, Kay McClure was not good when he came with Charlotte. He had an ERA over 7. It wasn't 37 innings, so it wasn't you know, just some like 10 innings, 2 start kind of a scenario. He really just didn't do well at all. He wasn't striking out a lot of people. The walks were still good, so he still had decent command. He didn't lose that, but people were just hitting him more often and harder when he got to AAA. And again, I always keep in mind no 2020. And that kind of bridges over to the whole pitching in general. A lot of the good pitchers for the White Sox are younger, because when you look at their rotation and in their bullpen, all the guys that we kind of kept track of throughout the years are in the majors. But there's Giolito, Lopez, Bummer. I guess Fry is kind of an in-between guy. Foster was kind of an in-between guy. And then you've also got Garrett Crochet. There's a lot of decent younger guys that are up right now. And I'm not sure if it's just because the top guys that they had, like Jared Kelly, who was pitching in high school baseball at the beginning of 2020 before everything shut down, came up and just couldn't go against full season professional baseball guys yet. I don't know if he just wasn't ready, but it was really everybody. Matthew Thompson didn't do well. Andrew Dalkos didn't do well. To keep it with Charlotte, really nobody did well. Zach Birdie didn't do well before he left the team. Tyler Johnson got hurt, but he's kind of had an injury issue for a while. Jimmy Lambert wasn't very good. So it kind of goes, it should go beyond that. And maybe you can just say these prospects just aren't that great, because we saw how Giolito, Lopez, Kopech separated themselves from the Spencer Adams, Alec Hansons, and maybe we just have more Spencer Adams and Alec Hansons than Giolito's and Kopech's. And I mean, I guess Reynaldo Lopez again at this point.
Mike Wright and John Park, address your complaints. That's Darren Black in care of Southside Sox. Yeah, okay. Those guys are different sorts of prospects. So, but noted that they had good, relatively speaking, good seasons for Charlotte. Okay, Darren, let me spin the question a little bit. Because you've said something that maybe I, even though we've talked about this a lot in the season off, maybe I haven't heard you say necessarily, or maybe I'm just not paying close attention on the Farm Podcast, but are you willing then to say that because you have a nagging feeling that really the missed season has a lot to do with this, are you pretty confident that without the new influx of personnel, forget the draft class, forget this draft class, this 2021 draft class, the guys who are already in the organization with the team, are you pretty confident as a group they're going to be better next year? I don't mean everybody. I don't mean necessarily stardom. But in other words, they're going to get their legs back under them having had this normal season. And then in 2022, we see the progress we would have expected this year, and we just didn't get it.
Yeah, so I'll take out the 2021 draft picks in this, because I won't include Colson Montgomery, guys like that. But again, just to go off of their pitching, their top prospects in pitching are just, they're just young. They're younger than me, so I think they're extremely young because I'm still young. But so Jared Kelly coming off of not really pitching ever, injury riddled season, even all that saying, the reports down there still had him throwing high 90s. So it's not like he lost miles per hour. And same goes with Matthew Thompson and Dahlquist. They all just kind of really had command issues, and if they're really young, you kind of just figure they're probably going to have command issues unless they're soft tossers, and none of these guys really are soft tossers per se. They're not you know, how John Park or Mike Wright's, like we just talked about. So I would expect all of them to improve, but I by no means am saying that these guys are as good as the prospects that we had coming up, like Giolito and Kopech. They're not at the same level, but I do believe that they're better than what they were this season. I do believe, especially for the younger guys, that not having a 2020 season really hindered their development.
Is there someone, Darren, that we haven't addressed from the Knights? There are some a couple guys who came up who really are more Birmingham guys that we'll probably talk about in the Birmingham podcast. Hey, that's number 20 coming right up. But is there someone where we haven't touched on that we probably need to acknowledge, good or bad?
Yeah, so I'll keep the AA coming up for later. Do just want to touch on Luis Gonzalez. He's not in the system any longer. Want to slightly touch on Rutherford. He continued not to show any positive impact. Biggest is probably Yermin Mercedes. Obviously, talk of at least the south side of Chicago for a little bit in April was hot, like beyond hot. Like he was 100% better than the average baseball hitter when he was with the White Sox. And he ended up having one of his worst offensive seasons of his career. I know some people will blame that on Tony La Russa and how he handled the just ridiculous, still thinking about it, home run off of a position player that he wasn't supposed to swing at for some odd reason. But yeah, he just to note, he had one of his worst offensive years, and it didn't actually improve when he got sent down to Charlotte. He's basically an average AAA hitter, and he had never been anywhere close to average offensively in his entire professional career, and he's been around for I think a decade. So just noting him that he kind of fell off once he got demoted.
The idea that your heart's not going to be in it, obviously this is in some ways maybe unprecedented in Major League Baseball with what he did, record setting, his story of being a 10-year plus minor leaguer. So I mean, this is acknowledging it's a unique situation. The idea that your heart's out of it because of demotion, because of there's no like re-promotion fast enough. And then therefore that probably transferring into some of these results that you're noting there. Yeah. And it's not promising for a guy who wants to scrape his way back into the major leagues, even outside of Chicago. Let's face it, it's probably going to have to come outside of Chicago, but with the White Sox or with another team, you know, those doors don't just open automatically because in, you know, 2019, you had a, you know, a stellar silver slugger season in AA. So yeah, disappointing for how incredibly it started. And believe me, Breaking Tees seemed to put out a t-shirt every other day for Yermin Mercedes. Couldn't have where he's like, we still don't know if he's retired. I mean, frankly, I think he started talking about retirement at the end of the season again. We don't even know if he's like planning on playing in 2022 at this point. And those aren't questions you're supposed to be asking about players who are on the cusp of the major leagues. Yeah. Darren. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's roll some credits. Time of the V is a big help for us there at Charlotte. Of course, we have our wonderful photographer, Laura Wolf, who provides incredible images for us and the Knights. Before his anticipated or unanticipated stint on the IL, Anders Johansson. He's got that combination Midwestern, but then also very Nordic pronunciation there. But we appreciated having him on a couple podcasts and doing some writing for us from Charlotte. And hopefully come next year, he's going to be raring to go, back healthy and providing some great coverage for us with the Knights. It was not a fun season to watch in terms of game results. I'm speaking for Darren there as the person who took more losses than anyone for us. Although I got to say, you almost caught Julie Brady at the end, Darren. You made a run. You almost got out of the cellar. You know, there were a lot of really great stories with the Charlotte Knights, guys who even just blew through Charlotte on their way to the Chicago White Sox. Maybe a guy we might talk about in our next podcast. But for Darren Black, for podcast Down on the Farm podcast number 19, the Charlotte Knights review, I'm Brett Palantini. We chatted about Charlotte. We have accompanying Darren's review of the Charlotte Knights coming out along with this podcast. And, you know, peruse, check it out. See if you agree. See if you're just as stunned that this could be the 30th team in AAA. Sorry, Charlotte, but you know, hopefully you'll be at least 29th next year. All right, Darren. Hey, okay. I'm going to run over to the snack table, grab a few nachos and come back and we'll do another podcast, huh?